As a matter of practice, however, first of all, there are those who do not agree that say that Rabbeinu Gershom's promulgations were meant to be for the balance of time. And even those who said that he did put a time limit upon it, but Ashkenazic Jewry by custom and by rabbinic agreement has imposed the strictures of the bands of Rabbeinu Gershom till our day. And they are binding upon us. It's a little like the Second Salt Treaty. And therefore, even though there is historic question as to whether or not he intended to bind the Jewish people, there are those who say that he hoped that the exile would have ended by then. And therefore, when the Mashiach comes, when the Sanhedrin is reestablished in Jerusalem, when the central authority of Jewish law is reconstituted, so then they would be able to pass upon all these matters. And therefore, that's why he made it for a short period of time. There's an interesting point that says that even though he made it only until the year 5000, he did so in order not to discourage the Jewish people. We find that idea mentioned many times. The Rambam mentions it, etc., that rabbis gave relatively short dates to the future, simply because if you tell the Jewish people, if you would have told them, for instance, in the year 980, that 1,000 years from now they're still going to be in exile, so that takes the wind out of their sails. It's very hard to keep your hopes up that way. We all know that the best way to encourage someone is by short gradations. And therefore, there is an opinion that Rabbeinu Gershom intended it for all time, or until such time as the Sanhedrin will be reconstituted, but that he gave the relatively short date. 745 years ago would be the year 1240, which was approximately 250 years after the promulgation of his laws, because he did not want to give them such a long date or an indefinite date that it would discourage them. Be that as it may, Ashkenazic Jewry has accepted the strictures of Rabbeinu Gershom, and as I mentioned to you last week, in our time, Sephardic Jewry has also accepted it. Most of Sephardic Jewry lives now in the land of Israel, and the chief rabbinate of Israel, both Ashkenazic and Sephardic, have adopted the principles of Rabbeinu Gershom in personal matters. There is no polygamous marriage allowed in Israel. All of the laws that Rabbeinu Gershom came to deal with have now come into effect, and within a short period of time, in terms of history, a short period of time, there will be no more polygamous families among the Jewish people. Today there still are a small number, because those Sephardic Jews who came to Israel with more than one wife were allowed to retain more than one wife. They were allowed to retain them. But there are no polygamous marriages per se that are celebrated in the land of Israel today, that are performed. That doesn't exist. I mentioned to you last time that the year 1000, more or less, is the turning point of our story. It is the transition in Jewish history from the age of Babylonia to the age of Spain. It's the transition from east to west. It's also the transition, the loose transition, between the period of time that we call the period of the Gaonim, the leaders of the rabbinic schools in Babylonia, and the period of the Rishonim, of the great scholars of Spain and of